This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to the Zoomer Week in Review, brought to you by CARP, a new vision of aging. Support CARP with your membership today. Visit carp.ca.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Zoomer Week in Review, all things Zoomer worldwide. I'm Bob Komsic for the vacationing Libby Znaimer. Mental health is a difficult topic for many, and as we age, we often focus on physical aches and pains, ignoring signs of anxiety, dementia, depression. You'll hear from the author of 50 Plus and Healthy, what you need to know about mental health and healthy aging for you and your loved ones. And the Ford government launches a long-term care pilot project aimed at helping end hallway health care. North York General Hospital's involved. Its president and CEO will be along later to explain. But first, here are your Zoomer headlines from around the world. Research from the University of BC suggests those who are unconscious and near death can still hear. Comforting news for Hillary Jordan of Victoria, who says she always believed her unconscious husband Ian could hear her over the 30 years she spent talking to him before he passed away 2 years ago.
I said something to him before he passed, which made him know that it was okay to leave us, and I had never said those words before. So shortly thereafter, he did pass. I do believe that he could hear. I want to believe that he did.
The study can be found in Scientific Reports. Author Joanna Cole, whose magical school bus books transported millions of young people on extraordinary and educational adventures, has died at the age of 75 of idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. Magic School Bus books, tens of millions of copies were sold, were the basis for the animated TV series of the same name in the mid-90s and a sequel series that ran in 2017 and 18. 80-year-old queen of rock and roll Tina Turner's just released a remixed version of her 1984 hit. Tina Turner told Zoomer Magazine in a cover story last year, her longest love affair has been with her audience. Incidentally, Canadian Zoomer rocker and photographer Brian Adams shot that cover. Good news for fans of the Motown sound. They can now... Detroit's Motown Museum has reopened, and in the name of COVID safety, they've given it the Motown treatment. First, visitors are given a health questionnaire, get their temperatures checked. If all's fine, they get a sticker that reads, to keep visitors at the recommended physical distance, they're required to stand on record-shaped decals on the floor. The former Hitsville, USA building had been closed since March. I'm Bob Komsic for Libby Znaimer, and those are your Zoomer headlines from around the world. There's more to being healthy than staying physically fit. Mental health is just as important, but a lot of the time gets buried beneath the stigma that surrounds it. Unfortunately, those long-held negative beliefs have led to nearly two-thirds of the world's population refusing to seek help. Dr. Murali Rao is a geriatric expert and psychiatrist from Loyola University Medical Center in Chicago. He's also written 50 Plus and Healthy, what you need to know about mental health and healthy aging for you and your loved ones. Why come out with this now? What prompted you to write it? The pandemic?
Not at all. Way before that, I've been practicing geriatric psychiatry for a good many years, the very first batch of geriatric psychiatry that opened as a subspecialization. I'm with that group. So over the years, I have seen elderly parents brought by family members, mostly children. And as the parents are either getting treatment for depression and more than depression mixed with dementia, memory loss, then the children who bring them, as they get to know us, start inquiring about, is this going to happen to me? Will I end up like this as I get much older? So not this book was with them in mind so that they understand how to take care of, how to recognize first the various mental ailments that appear in the elderly in particular, and also prepare themselves to age in a healthy manner, healthy aging. And so this is for that group, because the elderly that they bring usually give very little information, and a lot of information to practice geriatric psychiatry comes from the caregivers. And the caregivers are always curious about taking care of their parents, the so-called sandwich generation. So they want to take care of the parents and take care of themselves and their children. And, you know, so then they worry about what's going to happen to me. So it will help thousands of people suffering from mental health issues, particularly depression, anxiety disorder, loss of memory. Actually, this book is for anyone suffering from or want to acquire knowledge on memory-related issues, later year onset, and the caregivers were struggling to know more. So 50% healthy is meant for anybody, particularly middle age and above, and to create awareness. And it's written in very simple layman terms. There is no jargon at all. So it's a general reading, and it's very important to fight the stigma we have in dealing with mental illnesses.
Have you noticed over the years, Dr. Rao, that more people were coming to you with questions and concern about their parents' mental state?
Correct, yes. The practice is ever growing, because as we are living longer, the life expectancy now, the latest would be for a woman, 79, for a male, 79, and for a female, it's going to be 81 years of age. So 100 years ago, it used to be 30s. So there have been progressive increase in longevity. So therefore, there's gradual increase. I mean, the 5.5 million Alzheimer's disease in the United States would be, in the next 10 years, will be 8 or 10 million. So it's an ever-increasing population. Because the neurodegenerative disorders, as we age and live longer, becomes more apparent.
Do you think that mental illness is less of a taboo subject now, or still on the same level?
You know, the taboo or stigma is better for, you know, younger people who are working and they feel stressed and get some counseling. There, the taboo is a little less, but for little more severe illnesses, it's kind of disapproval of that individual, directly or indirectly, and lack of respect for someone, bad opinion of them because they have something the society doesn't approve of. The other name, brief explanation of what stigma or taboo is going to be. If we take this stigma around dementia, for example, you know, first of all, dementia is a number of mental disorders, of which Alzheimer's is the more common one, which is about 60% of all dementias. So there is particularly strong stigma about dementia. So there could be external stigma, there could be internal stigma. The external is mostly the rejection and fear that person will develop symptoms and develops unpredictable behaviors. And people will start slowly staying away from them and no longer extend invitations or do activities with them. It causes more and more isolation for that person. and which complicates the issue further. And so there is a overall social and family rejection, overtly or covertly. And then for the person who is beginning to experience early stages of dementia, he also has to fight with his or her own internal stigma. That is about having to go through mental confusion and having kind of a emotional shame that they're having this disease and the uncontrollability of the symptoms as it progresses, and fear of being alone goes hand in hand with having become a burden on somebody else. You know, in recent years, we have seen some famous people, the minute they learned that they had an incurable chronic neurodegenerative disorder like Parkinson's or dementia, have, even before going through the later stages or becoming dependent, just for the fear of losing dependence, they've killed themselves. And so this stigma is works. It should not be there at all. And the only way to counter that would be creating awareness and education. That's another big purpose of writing this book.
That was Dr. Murali Rao, author of 50 Plus and Healthy, What You Need to Know About Mental Health and Healthy Aging for You and Your Loved Ones. I'm Bob Komsic, and this is the Zoomer Week in Review. The Ford government is launching a pilot project with North York General Hospital to give vulnerable or alternate level of care patients priority access to a long-term care bed to help reduce wait lists and hopefully end hallway health care. ALC patients are those who no longer need to be in hospital but remain because their status prevents them from going home and there's no space in long-term care. Dr. Joshua Tepper is president and CEO of North York General. Dr. Tepper, just how will this pilot project work?
Yeah, so this will allow us, we have a number of patients that are designated what's called advanced level of care, meaning they don't need to be in the hospital. And specifically, they've been identified as people who would like to move into a long-term care home. And as an organization, we also own and operate a long-term care home. And we'll be able, for a small number of patients, to have them move straight from the hospital into the long-term care home across the street.
How many?
So we'll be up to a maximum of 18 at this time. This is a new project. It's a pilot project. And so we're going to start with 18 out of the roughly almost 200 beds that are there.
So is the project now underway, or when does it officially get underway?
We'll be starting this in just the next few weeks. We've been planning for this. And so now that it's been announced and we have the government support, we'll be able to probably have the first patient move in the next few weeks.
And how long is this supposed to run?
We're looking for about 18 months as the pilot, and it'll we'll collect a lot of different types of data to evaluate it. So we're very excited about it, and we're pleased to have the government support.
What are some of the types of things that you'll be collecting, looking out for to see if this is helpful?
Well, certainly one thing we'll be watching very closely is, does this help us reduce hallway health care and the number of patients that we have in the hallway, particularly as we head into the flu season and this year flu season plus COVID. We'll be looking at patient satisfaction. We'll be looking at people coming back to the hospital for medical care, and hopefully we'll see people not needing to come back. So there's a variety of things, but certainly a really key indicator for us is the reduction in hallway healthcare.
Okay, so whose idea was this? In other words, who reached out first, the hospital, the government, or was this just a meeting of the minds and you were both mutually taking that step?
So this was, I think, an initiative from the hospital. We, again, because we're in a somewhat unique circumstance of owning and operating both a hospital and a long-term care, and, you know, we have people management going back and forth between the two. We really could see the opportunity. We were, so it was our idea that we went and sort of shared with government because we have a very significant problem with hallway healthcare, as do other hospitals. And, we did see this, 18 beds is, it's helpful. And, they were very receptive to it, and we, have been working on this together for some time.
If this shows signs of working early on, the government's indicated that it would consider expanding the approach to other hospitals and homes. What's your gut tell you? Do you foresee that?
I do. I think I've talked to some of my colleagues already about this, both before the announcement and after, and I think there will be a strong interest in building this relationship. You know, I think one thing that's happened during COVID is there's been a lot more collaboration between hospitals and long-term care, which has been positive. And I think this is just one more example post-COVID or in our new COVID world of another example of how relationships can be built and we can have a more integrated healthcare system. I think we need to see the different parts of our healthcare system have smoother handoffs, smoother the movement of people between different parts. And this is an example of that. So I'm pretty optimistic that we will see more initiatives like this.
The fact that North York General has this unique position of having Seniors Health Center right across the street, how accurate a picture will this help provide to indicate if the pilot is working or not?
Yeah, that's a very thoughtful question. And first of all, there's a number of other hospitals that are owners and operators of long-term care homes. So we're not the only ones. So I think there'll be many others in a similar boat. And then the second item is I do think that it might be a little easier for us as the shared operators and management team. But I could imagine us doing this with other long-term care homes in our local community as well. And would it be a little trickier? Sure, but I do believe it would absolutely be feasible. And so I do think there's an opportunity both for other hospitals or organizations that have that run both. But even if you don't, I still think I could imagine, I could easily foresee it working where you reached out to a separate organization and figured out how to get more collaboration.
Dr. Tepper, I would like to get your reaction to the recent announcement by the Ford government concerning improvements they'd like to make to long-term care. Your thoughts?
I certainly welcome it. I think one of the things we've learned through this pandemic is that we do need to increase the quality of care and our investment in long-term care. And to be honest, for those of us who have been working in healthcare and working in long-term care, including myself, we were aware of the need for more investments to be made. We know that there is a need for more beds, period. My organization, North York General, hopes to build a new long-term care home with additional capacity in the near future. And we also know that even in the existing homes, there's a need for more resources, for more staffing to be able to support the existing homes. So I really welcome this. Long-term care is a important part of our healthcare system and needs the additional room and space and the additional investments.
That was Dr. Joshua Tepper, President and CEO of North York General Hospital. And that brings us to the end of this week's edition of the Zoomer Week in Review. I'm Bob Komsic. Be sure to come back next week when Libby Znaimer returns to stay up to date with all things Zoomer worldwide.
Zoomer Week in Review is produced by Zeev Hadi, Christine Ross, and Paul Thomas. Technical producer, Justin Eacock. Executive producer, Moses Neimer.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.